Hello, I'm Dave King.
And I'm Alicia Reed. And welcome to our second edition of Unscripted, the official podcast of Rotary Magazine for Great Britain and Ireland.
We are back for more fascinating guests from around the world celebrating the fellowship and impact of Rotary.
Whether you're working out, mowing the lawn, or winding down at the end of your long day, welcome. So, this week's episode of Unscripted, we've got yet another great lineup of guests. So we've got Maeve Fury from Portlaoise Rotary Club in Leinster, Ireland, talking about HandyTam, which is an inclusive mobility project with life-changing community impact. And we're delighted to have right here in the studio Jill and Andrew Campbell championing hearing well-being through their Hearing Ambassadors charity.
And we've got Shirley Lubford, who is our controller this evening from Swindon 105.5. But first up this evening, I'm delighted to introduce Heather Stewart, who is chair of the board for Rotary Great Britain and Ireland. Good evening, Heather.
Hello. Hi, Dave.
It's been like 2 months now that you've been chair of the board. How has it been?
Good. Full on, but it's an absolute privilege. Fitting everything in is a challenge, and there are never enough hours in the day. And I think, as for lots of working Rotarians, it's always a challenge balancing off service in whatever form, along with work, family, etc. But yeah, I'm absolutely loving it, and I've got a great team around me across the board and in the support centre, special advisor team. So we're rocking and rolling, I think.
You're a working Rotarian. I think you wear a number of hats in Fife in Scotland. And I recall on the first day of becoming Rotary and Great Britain and Ireland chairman that you met the King and Queen. So that's quite a hell of a start.
Yeah, it was a bit of a coincidence, actually. But yes, they were in my hometown of Kirkcaldy. They were helping us mark the occasion of 100 years of our war memorial there, which uniquely is part of the museum and art gallery, which is one of the venues that I run in my day job, where I run a cultural charity. So they were part of a ceremony at the war memorial, and then the King came in particularly for about an hour, I think, and wandered around, looked at some of our exhibits and artworks and the special centenary art exhibition that we had on. Yeah, really, really interested in what we were doing. Managed to sneak in a little bit of a chat about Rotary, as you would all expect me to do. Very positive response it was as well.
What did you chat to him about?
Just told him that I had just taken on the chair of Great Britain and Ireland, and he was genuinely interested in that. Said there was an interest and a knowledge in the family about what Rotary did. And just spoke very positively about the organisation and the alignment of what we do with a lot of the charitable works that the royal family themselves are involved in. It was a nice day. Learned what he took in his tea as well.
Reveal, what does he take in his tea?
I would love to say this is the biggest takeaway. I mean, there were bigger issues coming out of the visit, just to make that clear to everybody listening. But on the tea front, it is Earl Grey, very, very small spot of milk and some honey. And you heard it here first.
And what about biscuits? Is he a hobnob man?
He didn't have any biscuits, in all fairness to him. It's just an example of how hardworking they are. I'm not sure he even got a sip of his tea. If he did, it was stone cold by the time he got it, because we kept him busy, that's for sure.
What an insight. But let's talk about North Star. This is a bold initiative to grow membership in Great Britain and Ireland to 60,000 Rotarians by 2028. One of the key areas of growth is direct membership. So before we chat any further, Heather, let's have a listen to some Rotarians who are direct members.
Joining as a direct member is a really flexible way of doing Rotary. It's, as we say, Rotary without borders. You can make it fit into your life how you want it to. You can...
I've been a direct member of Rotary for nearly a year now. I found it was the quickest and easiest way to join.
Direct membership gives us the opportunity to duck in and out as we want to. I think it's the flexibility of what direct membership offers, but still with the concept of doing social good.
That's exactly got my name on it. That's for me.
Direct membership is a flexible and creative way to volunteer in Rotary across times, across projects and across geography. I travel abroad a lot, so it still enables me to give and volunteer,
but in a more flexible way when I am in the UK or even when I am abroad.
Why I joined Rotary and why I joined as a direct member is being a working mum of a 2.5-year-old. It's a challenge to fit your passions and volunteer work into your daily life. Direct membership specifically to me is a flexible, all-inclusive way of engaging with Rotary.
We're direct members with Rotary. We came up with this idea to run this session just to show how being outdoors for 20 to 30 minutes can really help improve your mental well-being.
We found something!
Without direct membership, I wouldn't have joined Rotary. I'm running my own business. I want to be connected to people, but I don't want to have to commit myself to things I can't possibly make.
Direct membership is where you can join Rotary, not to join a club, but it enables you to become a Rotarian and explore where the best fit is for you.
I filled in my forms, and the next thing I knew, I was a direct member of the Rotary, and I felt proud. The first time in my life, I feel like I've been accepted and I'm a member of something that's actually doing good throughout the world.
Direct member can actually plug into several clubs or into each other from different parts of the world.
There's no rules or limits. If you can imagine it, you can do it.
Heather, that's direct membership. If you were to explain North Star and what it's all about to someone who had no idea about it, how would you contextualise direct membership and the other parts of Rotary that exists around it?
For me, all of this is about growing our capacity to do good and to do more good. The more of us that are there to take on board service projects and to get involved, then the better. And the more people that we want to get involved, I think the more flexible we have to be. So a direct membership and the comments there that you heard in that clip, I think really bring alive the fact that, you know, that whole thing about flexibility. And I think the more options that we have for Rotary, the more we are likely to attract people in to be part of that wider Rotary family. And as we know, there's a huge amount that we can offer as an organisation. Things are fast-paced now, aren't they? Diverse, things evolving, and Rotary has to evolve as well. And the various channels that we now have in terms of direct and corporate alongside club members as well, all of that offers a range of choices. Seems to be working, Dave. I mean, we've welcomed over 500 direct members into the organisation now, which is great news. I'm a direct member myself.
So there's 500 direct members, and we've recently had the Corporate 1000 campaign, and again, something like 500 corporate members have come into the fold?
I think so. I mean, the figure that I have as at 1st of July 25 is 381 corporate members, but certainly that and direct are a huge growth channels for us at this moment in time. Enterprise, where you're bringing on whole staff teams from within organisations, obviously offers the opportunity to increase membership as well as our capacity too. We had a very, very successful recent Impact Day with HROC, who are our current enterprise member. Really positive feedback from them and a really good video of the day that we'll be able to use to promote what we can offer through enterprise membership to other businesses. So, it's all going well, I think, and people are really beginning to get an understanding about the various ways in which they can engage with Rotary now.
And as we come into September, Heather, we're looking at a new initiative, Club 100. What's that all about?
All that we were talking about there was about, you know, how Rotary kind of changes lives. And a lot of that is through the projects that we run, the friendships, the communities and the sense of purpose. And clubs are, of course, you know, the ongoing heartbeat of Rotary. And that's why it is a really exciting time for us, because, as you say, we're launching a really ambitious drive to grow Rotary by starting 100 new clubs across Great Britain and Ireland during 25-26. So on average, that's about 4 new clubs per district. And I've no doubt that together we can absolutely make that happen. And as I said earlier, you know, new clubs means new members, bringing Rotary into communities where maybe we don't currently have a presence. If Rotary is already there, maybe a new club offers a different style, format or focus that attracts people in who might not otherwise have joined us. So, yeah, so it's a fantastic opportunity, I think, and great to have the support of clubs, of members and of the district leadership with this initiative too.
And I know you've said previously, Heather, that had we not had North Star, had we stood still, Rotary in this country would be on track to fall to just 22,000 by 2028. But for the first time in years, our membership figures are heading in the right direction.
Yes. The challenge that we have is that over a number of years, the trend has been downwards. And even where we've been attracting insignificant numbers of members, the trend has been that we lose more than we manage to attract. So we need to not lose sight of the experience of members, because clearly we also need to be looking at retention. But you're absolutely right in what you're saying. If things had just continued as they were and we'd taken no action whatsoever, we would have been on track for 22,000 members or less. As it is, we've got 31,549 more, because these are the figures from the 1st of July. And although we still had attrition, we brought in nearly 4,000 members. We lost just over 5,000. But the percentage of loss has decreased. You might say, well, that's not the best story in the world to tell, Heather, but I think it's a great story to tell, because it's the beginning of turning that juggernaut of decline around. And that's always going to be the first step to getting on that kind of path to growth. So I'm feeling really positive about that, actually. As you know, we're one of two international pilots testing these new ways of doing Rotary. So yes, I think the ship is turning.
Heather, that is good news. And thanks for that. We're going to move on now. You talk about telling good stories. I think we've got some more good stories to hear about during this podcast. And Alicia, you've got two guests in the studio to introduce.
We do indeed have good stories. So our next guests don't just think outside the box. In fact, I'm not even sure whether they know where the box is. Jill and Andrew Campbell are the originators and driving force behind the charity Hearing Ambassadors, as well as hard-working founder members of the District 1220 E-Club. And because these groundbreaking projects clearly aren't enough, they've been busy collaborating with fellow Rotarians to launch Here Together Rotary Online, with its very first meeting coming up soon, on the 30th of September. I feel exhausted just reading the list. Jill and Andrew, a warm welcome to you.
Thank you. Hello.
Hi.
I would love to know how Hearing Ambassadors began.
It's a very simple story, really. I went deaf. I lost 75% of my hearing. I felt very dizzy one morning and I went to bed. 24 hours later, I woke up and I was fine. Couldn't hear a damn thing, but I was fine. I went deaf. Along that journey, there were a lot of things that I learnt, and Hearing Ambassadors is our way of trying to gather together people who are hard of hearing and those who can hear to share experiences and work out how to make a good, viable life when you can't hear what's going on.
Goodness. So how did you then turn what your current situation was into something wider and more positive?
Well, I did work for various charities and things. So a lot of charities help people who are deaf and have a harder hearing. I was slightly aware that we needed to broaden that out. Rotary being Rotary, had a meeting which was to discuss what Rotary could do for people who are disadvantaged, who had problems in Rotary meetings. And really it was the last, Jill and I attended, and it was really the last throw of the dice, because prior to that, Rotary meetings, the food was good, the rest of it, forget it, sit and watch the TV made more sense than the meetings, because I couldn't hear a damn thing.
Right.
So we went along to this meeting, and I think it's probably better if Jill explains to you how I reacted.
Yeah, so we were at this meeting. I wasn't a Rotarian, Andrew was, and it was probably 2 years into his deafness, and he was beginning to get isolated. And I was getting really quite concerned about him. And he decided that was it. He was going to leave Rotary. I decided that because of this meeting, I would go with him and support him and help him and see if that would actually help us to turn a corner. It was like a bereavement for us.
Right.
His hearing loss was like a bereavement. Yes. But what we're doing now is actually turning his hearing loss into a force for good. So that's what we're excited about. And at this meeting, it's hearing ambassadors, and all the work that we're doing is just a series of coincidences. When Cheryl hears this, she will be nodding and going, yes, it's coincidences. And at this meeting, we're so lucky that we got the next DG and the one after and the current DG at the meeting. I wasn't a Rotarian, didn't know what a DG was or right. anything. And one of the people there was Cheryl Berry. And I thought, gosh, that name, I know that name, because years ago when we'd moved up to the Sheffield area, I'd read in the Times Educational Supplement about a local school, High Stores, and it said, with Cheryl Berry at the helm. And I can remember this from years previously. And I thought, it can't be the same Cheryl Berry, can it? But it was. It was the same Cheryl Berry. And we were working through this meeting, and Andrew was just descending into his isolation, arms folded, and just was falling asleep. And then suddenly they asked him about the hearing loop, and they said, hey, Andrew, you're deaf. Tell us about the hearing loop. He hadn't heard, and I kicked him and said, Andrew, they're asking you a question. Tell them about the hearing loop. And he said, I haven't heard a thing.
I didn't quite say that.
No, but I won't say exactly what you said. And this was in front of all these executive members of Rotary, and it was really so embarrassing. And then one by one, the people in the room actually said, well, do you know what? I don't hear very well. And right. someone else said, do you know what? I feel quite isolated because I don't hear. And nobody had shared that experience.
Right.
We were a catalyst for sharing that. And Cheryl, just an extraordinary woman, said, we've got to do something about this. And Hearing Ambassadors was born.
What an incredible story. Yes. And force for good, change for good,
yes.
that you're actually imparting. So what do you actually do if somebody comes to you or they see your website and
yeah.
think, well, we could do with that?
Yeah. Generally, what we found when Andrew first went deaf, there was nothing really to help people with acquired deafness and nothing to help their spouses and their friends. And nobody knows how to communicate with someone that has hearing loss. And we use the term deaf to mean hearing loss. Some people think of deaf as being, I've been born deaf. Deafness encompasses a lot. So hearing loss from mild to profound hearing loss. So anyone that has any form of hearing loss. And what we love to do is to go to organisations like Rotary Clubs and to tell them how they can make their meetings more accessible for people with hearing loss. And you know what? Every meeting that we go to, we have exactly the same experience. Somebody says, well, actually, I can't hear. Could you please, I've been asking you to use the microphone in our meetings. You know, people don't.
Right.
Or when there is a visiting speaker, to please use the microphone. But they say, I don't need a microphone.
Okay.
Being the person that other people do things to, you notice when you have a disability or something like that, people do things to you. They don't ask you about what you want, they just do things for you. But anyway, being one of those people, one of the big things that struck me was surviving, getting along, was quite difficult. Because I couldn't hear what people were saying, and they were really well-meaning. They were trying really hard, but getting it in completely and utterly wrong. And I couldn't work out whether they were doing it on purpose or were ignorant. And after a bit, I decided the world isn't full of nasty people. They just don't know what's happening. So one of the key areas with Hearing Ambassadors, one of the things that we try to bring out into the in the talks that we give, is how people can improve their communication, specifically with people who are hard of hearing. But once you do that, it applies to everybody. Right? How many times have you gone into a hotel, right, and the receptionist is sitting behind the desk and you go there, and they are looking at their screen down. They're below you, so you've got the lip read the top of their head, right? Yeah, and it's difficult. But even if you can hear, it's difficult. So if you go along and explain, you look up, right?
Yes.
So they can see your face. You communicate better with people who are hard of hearing and people who can hear perfectly well. And you were talking about commercial things. If it takes three goes for your receptionist to book somebody in, that means you've lost out on two, right? So instead of employing another receptionist, you can get more people through because they learn how to communicate.
And the eye contact and making sure your face is clear. I noticed just earlier I was a little bit behind the microphone and you were trying to see me from behind the microphone, and that reminded me that you need to see people speak clearly. Mm-hmm. That's a really top tip.
One of the things that in our talks that we point out, things that somebody who's hard of hearing does can be misinterpreted. Like you get the stare. Right, straight in the eye. Look, that's because I'm lip reading.
Yes.
You will be suffering from it now. Because I can't hear, I talk all the time. That's because if you ask me a question, I don't hear it and I don't understand it. If I talk all the time, you can't ask me a question, so it doesn't become embarrassing.
That makes total sense.
So what we like to do is, rather than talk about hearing loss, is talk about hearing well-being.
Yes.
And we like to help people understand how to look after their hearing.
Yeah,
and that's quite an important aspect of what we actually do.
It is, and I would say you have managed to do something and have great success in what we all aspire to, which is meaningful engagement with the younger generation. Now, how have you managed to do that?
So what happened was we were about 2 or 3 years into Hearing Ambassadors, and Cheryl, again, and you'll hear me talk about Cheryl regularly, Cheryl said, do you know what? I think we should do something with young people about the prevention of noise-induced hearing loss. Because the statistic is that 50% of people aged between 12 and 35 are at risk of noise-induced hearing loss.
That's so high, that statistic.
It's an astonishing statistic. Mm. So what we're trying to do is to help those young people understand how loud is too loud and what they can do and how they can take control of what they hear and how loud they hear.
And you've got lots of really great videos on your Sound Warriors video wall, and some great information and resources there, I have to say. But let's play them, one of them now. So this is Jess, and she was one of the first Sound Warriors, and she's talking about how being a Sound Warrior has helped her to make some important changes.
Tell us about your experience with Sound Warriors.
So, since I started with Sound Warriors, at the start I won a decibel meter, and I've been measuring everyday sounds around the house. We did my dad's motorbike and it was only a little bit louder than the kettle. We also filmed a video on my back garden, and it was really fun seeing it on the website, all made up.
Did you enjoy measuring different sounds?
Yeah, I did enjoy measuring different sounds because it's really interesting to find out how loud things actually are.
Has your involvement made you think about protecting your hearing?
Yes, it has, and it's made me think that that young children especially need to protect their hearing so they have it all the way through their life.
Have you done anything differently to protect your hearing since being involved with Sound Warriors?
Yes, I have. When I've been listening to my music in my room, I've definitely made sure that the volume isn't too high, and also when I've been playing on the games with my brother, I've made sure to turn it down so it doesn't just affect my hearing, it affects my brother's as well.
Do you think it would be a good thing for the Sound Warriors video to be shown at your school?
Yeah, I think it is a good thing to be shown so other people know that it's definitely important to protect your hearing.
And now there's something for everybody, because later this month that you have here together, Rotary Online. Let's hear about that.
Yeah, so that's another coincidence.
Another
one, yes. So we were at a conference, a Rotary conference, and a lady called Shirley Fires came to us and said, wouldn't it be wonderful if there was a club for people that had an interest in hearing and hearing matters? And we thought, gosh, that what a great idea. And it's taken about 6 months. We've been to the hearing RAG in America, who have networked us through to people in the Philippines, people in Australia, people all around the world, but also people in the UK. And what we have decided is that we're actually going to be part of the District 1220 E-Club. We are called a special interest group, so we are open to all Rotarians. And our first meeting is on the 30th of September. We're going to have guest speakers that either have a lived experience of hearing or are in the professionals or are in a charity. So we've got a whole load of speakers lined up, and we are making a virtue out of not meeting the third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock. Meetings will be when the speaker is available.
That is so refreshing and modern and moving with the times, and it involves us all, doesn't it?
Yeah, and we've felt that way. If people have got regular commitments, they'll be able to dip into Here Together Rotary Online, because we've got several days of the week to do it.
And Heather, listening to Jill and Andrew, of what they just said, that must be music to your ears.
Thanks for sharing that. That's fantastic. Also, I know Shirley and Cheryl well, and you know, it's just great to hear that they played such an important part in the story. And the whole thing about coincidences, I heard that coincidences is right, but you have to take the opportunity that coincidences present, don't you? And the other thing it made me think about was just the opportunity that Rotary kind of presents, you know, when people come together, you know, the connections that can be made. And the other thing that really struck me was the whole thing about the transformational impact you can have of just actually asking people about the experience that they are having in a Rotary club, you know, and just how exclusive that experience is up until the point where you identify, you know, what the issues are that need to be addressed. So seeing people as individuals and asking them about how they want and need to engage, that whole thing about empathy for other people, I just thought there was so much in the story and inspirational about what you've done. That whole thing about turning hearing loss and the suddenness of it, I just can't imagine, into a force for good is absolutely right. That's definitely what you've done. Yeah, really inspiring. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, and Jill, you know, you've got Heather here. If there's something you could say to Heather who could perhaps help you, what would you perhaps say to her?
Well, I think that we see maybe a lot of direct members would be interested in Here Together Rotary Online. We are really keen on having a special project as well. And we're going to reveal that project at our first meeting on the 30th of September. But it's going to be a project that can be done anywhere, in any location, and it's going to be a force for good, and we're really excited about that.
When we talk about North Star, it is about inclusivity, isn't it? And it's a key area of membership growth to make Rotary accessible to all.
Yes, and I mean, this is a lot. I think where the synergies are with kind of direct membership, it's people bringing their ideas, their lived experiences, their kind of passions, things that they want to do to improve their lives, friends, family, generally. So I just kind of love the idea. I agree. I definitely agree, Jill, about there's a real opportunity here for direct members. But I also think that what you're offering is an opportunity that can be picked up by all Rotarians, you know, in terms of improving inclusion and however people are accessing, providing Rotary opportunities. So can't wait to hear more, actually. Love the idea of the big reveal of the special project, but the thing that I really love is what you said about it's something that can be done anywhere. These are the ideas I think that we need more of, where anybody can engage and anybody can make a difference. It's fantastic.
Thanks very much for now. So here's the thing. It takes a lot of courage to step out of a plane at 10,000 feet and to skydive to the ground. But just imagine how much courage it would take when you're disabled. It's mind-blowing, isn't it? Well, earlier this summer, thanks to the efforts of Portlaoise Rotary Club in Ireland, three people with physical disabilities were given the opportunity to skydive from 10,000 feet in a tandem jump. It's the first time this has ever happened. Let's hear a short clip from the Irish broadcaster RTE featuring one of the jumpers, Kay Delaney, who has cerebral palsy.
Something that I never thought would be possible with my disability. My name is Kay Delaney. I live in Port Arlington for the last years. So getting to do something that's always been on my bucket list is just absolutely incredible. It's absolutely amazing. It's so much fun. Just a little nervous, a little nerve-wracking, but it was a lot of fun.
Would you do it again?
Absolutely, in a heartbeat.
Absolutely staggering, and I'm delighted to welcome Maeve Fury of Portlaoise Rotary Club. Hi, Maeve.
Hi, I was president last year, but as the presidency changed on the 1st of July, I am no longer. Alphonsus Okafor is our current president. I was president last year when I started getting the idea of this project up and running.
So I think the idea first came from France.
Yeah, I'm actually in France at the moment as we speak, but only for the summer. So I have a holiday home here. And through a neighbour in the village, who is also a Rotary member, I end up being invited, actually myself and my husband, invited to a meeting in the local club in Matha. And that was where I heard about Handy Tandem. It was their idea. It was a guy called Yves Laurent in that club who came up with this idea. He kind of heads it in France. Back in 2018 was when they first started this. Since then, it has spread obviously all around France. And certainly this year, they had jumps in 10 different locations in France. There was our jump in Ireland, and there's a Rotary Club in Thailand doing a jump later this year. So we were the first Rotary Club outside of Ireland. This is not the first time anybody has ever skydived, a disabled person has ever skydived anywhere. The difference, of course, is this is the first time their skydive has been funded as a charitable venture. It's the first time that somebody else has paid for the skydive. It with the club in Matha it's one of their big projects, as you can imagine. And a number of the other members actually came to Ireland last October. We had five of them joined us and made a big presentation. And one of the things that they did say is that some of the people who jumped for them talked about months of pain relief. Apparently the adrenaline rush is just so strong that they actually get pain relief for a period of time. This is not a medical study, so I can't say exactly how long, but they did actually talk about, you know, the good feeling of it lasting for a long time. So as I said, it's not something that disabled people have never done, but it is something that Rotary do, where we provide the funding. When I started this, talking to the Irish Wheelchair Association, their local branch in Portlaoise, most of these people are financially struggling, living on benefits. A lot of the guys I met are guys who injured and left in a wheelchair because of accidents, which meant that most of them can't work. Now, the other people we had were two visually impaired young people. For them, kind of jump out of an aeroplane and into the nothing with you in your eyesight. I think they were very brave. It was such an amazing day. The wheelchair association, we had difficulties getting enough, obviously, and it was a learning curve, a massive learning curve. We did have some wheelchair people. We had two that had to drop out the last minute or within the last week or two because of illnesses. And in their stead, some of the some carers jumped. But they brought busloads of wheelchair people. We had three or four buses of people. And we just say brought picnics, and picnic doesn't do justice to the magnificent spread, the food they brought. The atmosphere was something. This was, you know, June in Ireland, we had a magnificent May. Of course, it was not great that day. It was cold, it was breezy. We managed to jump between the showers. But the atmosphere and those people were there. And what we gave them just in the day out alone, it was so rewarding. It was really rewarding. I must mention, too, that we had Naas Rotary Club were also involved. To give them credit, we had two clubs came together. It was a learning curve. We will be wiser next time. There was some difficulty with getting certificates from doctors who I think seem to think that their job was to say, yes, it's quite okay. It's never okay for anyone to jump out of an aeroplane. All we really needed was doctors to say that they were at no greater risk than any able-bodied person doing the same thing. So, you know, we had a very good girl at the Wheelchair Association, a French lady who was in charge in Portlaoise, and a very clever lady. And she simply reworded the request to the doctors, and it made them a bit easy for them to sign off on it. It was brilliant. It was an amazing day.
Maybe. I think it's a 400 euros it costs for each jump. So how did you manage to twist arms at your club to fund this?
We were very fortunate. One of our club members is a local councillor. And so the funding in Portlaoise, she has discretionary funding. And so Portlaoise County Council actually provided the funding. I did some interviews, local radio, we've a couple of press releases. What we would love is a big business to come in, because while I know you say it's 400 euro, and yes, if you're looking, we originally aimed for 10 people, and 5 from each club, which would be 4,000 euro between the two clubs. But that is such small money to a big business, you know, to be affiliated with such an amazing cause. So, you know, our aim would be to see if we could, in Rotary Ireland, get one big sponsor. But yes, we were very fortunate. NACE looked after their funding, and you probably want to talk to them. But they're a bigger club, and they will probably have more cash available. I'm not sure whether they went to sponsors for it, to be honest with you. But yeah, that's where our funding came from.
And just finally, how do you think Handy Tandem embodies the sort of Rotary spirit of service? How do you think it works within what Rotary is all about?
It's about looking after all aspects of society, and that includes disabled people. I mean, there are so many deserving causes and deserving people out there, absolutely. But they're a group of people that are overlooked in a lot of ways. And I felt that a project like that was the sort of thing that would maybe put Rotary out there as a name, sort of thing that people would sit back and say, oh, wow, that's what Rotary do. Maybe I'd like to join that. We haven't had them knocking on the door yet to join our club, but I think it's a good image for Rotary. I mean, I was listening to Heather talking earlier and about how we were losing members. And I think a lot of what was happening is that we were just doing the same things we'd always done, and that maybe we need to start looking at new ventures, new things that will bring a bit more life into our clubs.
Heather, I saw you nodding there. Is that you thinking you might contemplate a skydive?
It's always been on my bucket list as well. Although I kept thinking I would work up to doing it kind of solo, but I think it would always be in tandem for me too. So maybe I'll fund myself to get in with the mix and get the kind of at the next opportunity. But what a great story. Thanks for sharing it. What a fantastic project. Again, one that could be picked up by other clubs as well. Partnership was great too. You know, the council and with the local community associations, again, about connections, where ideas for projects come from. Brilliant story. Yeah.
It was something that I suppose, yeah, that we did bring in, it did involve the local council, it involved a local connection with the Wheelchair Association. So yes, there was a lot of local connection involved with that. Even though I have to confess, and don't tell anybody, but you wouldn't get me jumping out of an aeroplane. Not for anything.
That's Jill. Would
really
that be on your
bucket
list? Would it be on my bucket list? Well, yeah, I think I've done enough dangerous things for a while. But maybe.
Maybe, you're not ruling it out. How about you, Andrew?
Sometimes I'd gladly chuck her out of an aeroplane.
Okay, so we have a possibility of one there.
What about you, Alicia? What would you do it, and what's the most dangerous thing you've ever done?
Well, personally, I don't call it a bucket list. I call it a to-do list.
Right.
Yes. I do not have that on my to-do list.
Right.
The most dangerous thing I've probably ever done is strike a balletic pose on the end of a cliff in France.
Why?
Because it made a good photo.
Heather just had her hands splayed out going, yes, why? My father was in the parachute regiment, and I spent endless weekends watching Hankley Common, which is near Aldershot, him jumping out of a balloon and an aeroplane. And he had one accident, and I think that's put me off parachuting for life.
Answered the question I was about to ask you the same.
Yeah, no, I think I'm not sure what my bucket list would be. Running an ultramarathon maybe, but who knows? Heather, what's on your to-do list?
It wouldn't be running an ultramarathon, that's for sure. But yeah, skydiving has always been on it, I think. And everything else I think involves kind of, you know, Rotary and travel and, yeah, lots of things. I don't know, I've not been specific. I really should get I should get my act together, actually. Get this list written. Now that I'm hearing what's on everybody else's, I really need to get organised.
Maeve, just tell me about Rotary in Ireland, because I visited Dunleary last year for the conference, and it was a fantastic event to be at. And Irish Rotary is just so community focused. It's such a different type of Rotary which you won't experience anywhere around the world. Tell me more about Portlaoise Rotary and about Rotary in Ireland.
Okay, well, I suppose Rotary in Ireland generally. Yeah, I'm not sure how it. I suppose I could compare it with Rotary in France, but then it's hard to compare. You know, for Ireland, the whole district is north and south, and in France, it's just everything is just so much bigger. But there are 65 Rotary clubs in north and south, and as I'm sure you and all the listeners are aware, north and south of Ireland are one district. We do not. The north is not part of. Any British district, it's part of the general Ireland. Basically from, I suppose, all the way top to all the bottom, there's 1,400 members. And apparently, I've been checking this up, we average $100 per member per year towards Rotary. So there are 56 clubs and we have a hub. We also have we also host incoming scholars annually, and we've nine this year. So, you know, it's quite a big. We like, obviously, Heather's already mentioned the Club 100, and we are aiming to bring four more clubs. And I think there's one new one on the cards. I see Heather nodding, so obviously it's. It's a true rumour. Things are reasonably okay in Ireland. Like everywhere, there is the numbers are an issue, but we are starting, I think, as Heather said, we're starting to kind of turn that corner. Certainly our club nearly lost our club after COVID. COVID did a lot of damage, I think, to a lot of clubs. Oddly, if we kind of got through COVID, and it was after COVID, and maybe it was just the coming back. But our club has really grown. Okay, in that we don't have any more members, but we've lost some through death. We've lost some through the older cohort have kind of either retired or moved on. And yeah, we've managed in the last 2 years to bring in quite a few new members. And similarly, what Heather was talking about, we bring our own passions. We have a number of members from the local hospital in Portlaoise. One is two Pakistanis. One of them is a doctor. The other guy isn't. Because of that, we now fund the FAMS, which is it's actually a UK charity, and it's financial assistance for medical students. And what it does, and it's Tariq, our medical member who is from Pakistan, he is absolutely it is a passion with him. It really is. And what they do is they fund young people from poorer areas who wouldn't have the funds, as we know, obviously it's a society where there are people with plenty of money, but these would be young people coming from areas that don't have a lot of money, who would be scoring very high in school. And believe it or not, for €750 a year, We can put a young Pakistani student through college. That is one of the new projects that we are funding. So yeah, it's back to people, club members bringing their passions to the club with them.
Speaking of making more members, I'm back to Jill. I'm absolutely intrigued about your Here Together Rotary Online. So yeah, what do you hope in terms of the type of membership that you will get and the meetings?
Right, okay. So what we're hoping is that we're going to get people that have an interest in hearing well-being.
Right, so not necessarily hard of hearing themselves?
Not necessarily hard of hearing. Hard of hearing are very welcome. We won't have a BSL interpreter at the beginning, so if people need a BSL interpreter, that's going to be difficult for us. All the meetings are online, so we're using Zoom captions now, and those will be available to anyone. It's important for family members and friends as well. And if people want to know how to join that first meeting, then we've got an article in the current month's Rotary Digital magazine, and that will give people information on how to find out more.
Thanks for the promotion, that's great. Yes, there is an article in this month's Rotary magazine. So a final question for everyone, and I'll kick off with Heather, about what Rotary project has inspired you most during your Rotary career? I'll also ask that of Maven and Jill, but Heather, what Rotary project has inspired you most in your 10 years or 11 years actually in Rotary?
Hard to kind of choose. I mean, I don't know if I would say a specific project so much as one of the things that really attracted me into Rotary was the real turnaround, you know, beyond the scale of my imagination contribution that Rotary had made with other partners in terms of ending polio. And so I've only been in Rotary since about 2014, but the progress that's been made since then is just absolutely immense. And I'm still humbled by the efforts that partners and individual Rotarians make, you know, day in, daily to get all of that across the line. So I think for me, it's always going to be hard to see past that. It's such a good example of the scale and the opportunity of an international humanitarian organisation that we bring. So nothing sort of specific, but that, I think, is my inspiration still.
And Jill, can I ask you, is there any project in your career as a Rotarian that's really held home for you?
As an e-club, we find it difficult to raise money. So what we do is a lot of recycling. And the project that we have found, and it's through hearing ambassadors and it's through networking with clubs in other districts, and it's because of our hearing ambassadors talks, we networked with Tarpley Rotary Club, and they said, could you please help us with any unwanted currency, unwanted foreign currency? And we have had such a tremendous response from that. And it's just amazing. It's not about somebody giving you large quantities of currency. It's about networking. Exactly. And it's about knowing, about asking that question. Yes. You know, you've just been to Uzbekistan, have you got any Uzbekistan notes, please?
Yes.
And
yes,
just putting them into the pot. And those are sold to get good value out of them. And that's a wonderful project. And the money goes to support children in children's education in South Africa.
Incredible. And this just comes back to the question about just ask, doesn't it? Like Andrew was saying, ask for someone's experience.
Maeve, project-wise, from Portlaoise, is there any one project or in your Rotary career that's inspired you most?
It's hard to beat polio and what Rotary have done. But one thing, we put £500 into Lend With Care. And I mean, that £500, I checked it today, obviously, before I came on. We have lent £1,700 out in that length of time. We have created 217 jobs. We've helped 175 entrepreneurs, 79 different loans, and 591 family members helped. I mean, that's for just such a small amount. We actually did discuss at a recent meeting increasing that, and we might have to be able to actually get and do it. But I think Lend With Care is just amazing that what it does for, you know, and it's small money, and yet it just keeps giving and giving and giving. So, yeah, I think it's one of my really good ones that any Rotary club can do. And it just it's a gift that literally keeps on giving.
Well, the hour is nearly up, and that's it for this second edition of Unscripted. Our thanks to Heather Stewart, Jill and Andrew Campbell here in the studio, and to Maeve Fury for joining us. A special thanks to Shirley, who has been at the controls, and for Swindon 105.5 for allowing us to record in their studios. And thanks too for all the emails and messages that we've received following the August podcast. It's brilliant to know that so many people are enjoying listening to Unscripted. At the time of this recording, mid-August, we've had more than 600 downloads of the first podcast. So thank you.
Just picking up on the feedback, we had a couple of emails asking if you can get transcripts of the podcast. Well, you can. So if you listen to Apple Podcasts, a transcript is created automatically for users. What you need to do is to select the episode, scroll down beyond the episode description, and there you'll find a section headed Transcript, which has the whole episode in full.
And just a signpost to the October episode of Unscripted, which will feature Marco Nicosia, manager of the Rotary Europe and Africa office based in Zurich, to discuss 100 years of Rotary in Europe. And we'll also be featuring the fascinating story of Frank Malloy, a Rotarian from Doncaster. Oh, recognise that. Who 100 years ago, in 1925, was responsible for establishing Rotary clubs in Vienna, Prague and Budapest.
And Alicia and I will be recording a special podcast focused on the Rotary Foundation, featuring Holger Nack, the former Rotary International President, who is chair of the Rotary Foundation Trustees. It's likely this recording will be made available on Spotify, Apple Music and other streaming platforms in November to coincide with Foundation Month. Until next time, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Unscripted, the official podcast for Rotary in Great Britain and Ireland. If you'd like to find out more about Rotary or join us, visit rotarygbi.org. And you can also read more stories in Rotary Magazine at magazine.rotarygbi.org. If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, helping spread the word. And we'd love you to share it with friends, family and colleagues, inside and outside of Rotary. You can also email comments and suggestions to editor@rotarygbi.org.